This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning and this is The Breakfast Grill. What happens when the disruptor gets disrupted? When the industry changes so fast and new competition with deep pockets and innovative products are fast on your heels? Questions we pose to Tune Protect, a general insurance player that is associated heavily with travel. Rohit Nambiar is the CEO. He's also back to tell us if 2022 is the year of profitability after seeing losses the year before. Rohit, thanks for joining us again. Now, you were last on The Breakfast Grill in February last year, and you were rather optimistic about the future. But yet, the financial year of 2021 ended with a net loss of 15 million versus a net profit of 18.4 million in 2020. So tell us, what went wrong?
Thank you, Xiaoning. It's a pleasure to be here again. I think let's pull back a little bit on that question, right? Financial losses, but I think we need to read within it. First of all, we made a profit on an underwriting basis, which for an insurer is a very strong achievement. We did not have that the year before. So we've actually turned green on the business which we control. We've actually had a remarkable growth last year. Our NWP grew 19.5% year on year. And you know, the year before had 3 months of no COVID. This year, last year, pretty much had unexpected lockdowns in Thailand and Vietnam and so many other countries. So despite that, we grew 19.5% on top line. The losses happened because of three simple reasons. One was we definitely got hit on the bond portfolio because of the fair value situation you must have read. Mm. Bond markets across the world had their worst year in 23 years. So obviously, as many would consider it a very safe investment, but when the bonds tanked, obviously we had fair value losses, and that was the biggest contributor. And then we obviously had an impact from our Thailand business, where we did do some, we had some losses around one account. But as we've said before, we expect Thailand business to turn green this year.
Just for clarity, NWP here means net written premiums, am I correct?
Oh, sorry, it's the premium.
Yeah, but I also want to do a little bit of digging with regards to the net investment income loss. So it was 7.3 million if you look at it in detail. But you know, markets are extremely volatile. And even currently, we are seeing that play out due to the Russia-Ukraine crisis. And I know from your portfolio, it's 82% invested in fixed income. Do you think for 2022, the portfolio is now in the right place? It's adopted the right strategic asset allocation so we won't see a repeat of the fair value losses that we saw in 2021?
Xiaoning, that's a great question. I think we live in a time where we cannot do long-term planning from an investment perspective because a lot of things are moving, right? There's one group of investors who will tell you that the rate hikes are already priced in. Another group will say it's not really priced in, some element is priced in. So if you speak to two different investment groups, one will say bond is the place to be and just stay there. The other will say, oops, not so sure. And you've seen, you know, pretty much all asset classes have fallen in the last few, you know, months. From our perspective, we are, for that reason, we're taking what we call a wait and watch approach, but we've done a few tweaks. One, as you know, last year we went in 10% in ESG compliant equity funds. Unfortunately, we do have a China exposure and, you know, Chinese markets fell 23-25% last year. The second, but we don't expect that to, you know, continue for, you know, because they've really bottomed out in our view. The second one on the bond portfolio, we have since moved a percentage of our portfolio to even more conservative bonds, so even shorter tenure. So our bond portfolio has gone from 4 years to around 2.7 years plus or minus average. And one of the reasons for that was to protect this number.
But I also note from Bank Negara's first half 2021 financial stability report, which said, and I quote you, some smaller ITOs, which are basically insurance companies, continue to experience considerable earnings volatility due to higher reliance on investment income to support overall profitability. Risk of heightened volatility in the financial markets therefore remains a significant risk for these ITOs. When I read that, I thought, doesn't this describe Tune Protect though?
It describes most small players, and I think you know, it's normal, because till you build scale, your underwriting profit is not sizable enough for you to weigh out the investment losses or investment profits. But I think in our case, that's exactly why we are harping on the fact that last year we actually were positive on underwriting profits, despite the floods, despite the lockdown, which tells you that in our core business, we're starting to make money and we continue to make money. So the fact that we grew 19.5% last year, and we are expecting that to be, you know, we are expecting to maintain our projected target levels, which is to grow between 25 to 33%. And for that, we expect in the next 2 years, as the size increases, our expense ratios would reduce, which means, you know, our profitability should also improve. Mm-hmm. And that remains our focus, because investment performance at the end of the day have a certain level of out of control in the world we live in.
When do you achieve that tipping point where underwriting profits get sizable, that you can bear with the fluctuations of the market and fair value losses don't become crippling?
So our message has always been, that's why we've stuck to our 2023 plan. When I came out with the strat plan in 2021, January, when I came to the market and gave the, you know, 8 different areas we will focus on, there was a clear message saying there are no silver bullets. If anybody expects silver bullets, there aren't any, because it's a transformation story. It's a very interesting story to build a real ASEAN-based insure tech. And we have a lot of positives around that. And for that, we said that for us to reach an industry-level combined ratio, as they call it, profitability ratios, we would probably look at towards the end of 2023, 2024.
Yeah, but when I look at your combined ratio, it seems rather alarmingly high at the moment. It's 99.4%. So what are the remedies here?
Yes, so which is why we are saying we will go towards industry average in the next 2 years.
In the next 2 years, you will achieve industry average.
We will go closer to industry average, because we have certain benefits over the industry, which is because of our certain books, our claims ratios tend to be better than the industry. Our expense ratios tend to be worse than the industry because of our scale.
Mm.
And that's why I said scale becomes so important. So when you look at us, don't look at us as a traditional insurer. You have to look at us like an insurtech that you see in the US, you see in China, you see in India. We are a digital insurer, right? We have 4 assets. We have a digital insurance business in Thailand, in Malaysia. We have a business which can front, you can sell, you can buy on the app, you can be serviced on the app. We have a reinsurance business which can open up partnerships in 30 over countries. We have an insure tech called White Label, which you know, already does several cool stuff, and I can talk about that later.
Mm.
They've actually got their first client in the Middle East. They power the whole company. You know, last year we did 7.5 million policies plus or minus last year, and that was done through our insure tech, and we're starting to dial that up. And then finally, you know, we have a different cultural system, which is, you know, to be quite fast. And the focus here is to build that digital first ecosystem opportunity that we have. So I think, yes, there's a conversation on bottom line. The bottom line will come only if we get this top line story right, get the scale in. And it's always about, am I acquiring enough customers? Are they staying with me longer? Are they buying more from me? Because of which my profitability is going to come true.
The issue about Tune Protect, and I don't think anyone can deny it, in terms of where you want to be in a few years' time. You were listed in 2013. But when someone sees Tune Protect, they also immediately associate it with AirAsia, which owns 14% of the company. The thing is that AirAsia, or Capital A as it wants to be called now, isn't in a sweet spot. It's a PN17 company. There are reputational issues over why it won't refund its customers. So, you know, what was something positive for Tune Protect in the past, now perhaps working against you?
I actually beg to differ. I'm extremely proud to be associated with AirAsia. I can tell you many insurers out there would, you know, die to have this access to database of, you know, 75 million customers, work closely within the ecosystem. You know, yes, the airline industry has had a tough time in the last 2 years, but I can argue that it's nothing to do with, you know, the airline, right? It's for out of control factors.
But you might just...
It's not an airline, right? You guys please understand that today we are doing things with teleport. We insure the riders. On the super app, you can buy stuff. So there's a host of things that we are doing with the different AirAsia companies. Having said that, also, we also understand that what this period gave us, just like AirAsia transformed, we also transformed during this period. We realized we can't just be a travel insurer, primarily travel insurer. And the market sometimes forgets that even during good times, travel insurance was only 25% of our business. But 90% of that was AirAsia. Today, AirAsia, our travel insurance is still within 17-20% plus or minus, and AirAsia is less than 10% of that portfolio.
But isn't that the fact that because AirAsia is just basically flying much less?
Precisely. But remember that our travel growth last year was only 6% below 2019, which was pre-COVID. So you can imagine I'm back to pre-COVID levels without ASEAN flying happening with AirAsia. And when it comes back, this is going to be on top because I've already built four engines of travel. I had AirAsia, which I'm very proud to be associated. Then I have the Middle East business, which is not one airline. I have two airlines. I have Salam Air, Air Arabia, and I have 1,000 over travel agencies who use my InsurTech to issue policies. Then I have Vietnam, where I have Bamboo Air, and I have one more airline coming soon, which I've already informed the market. And the fourth one is now we are tying up with travel sites. You will see us with a lot of the new age travel sites across the world where we are live.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Rohit Nambiar, Group CEO of Tune Protect. When we come back, the financials and is Disruptor going to be disrupted? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. In the hot seat this morning is Rohit Nambiar, Group CEO of Tune Protect. Before their break, is their legacy and origins the Achilles heel of this general insurance company? Rohit, let's spend some time on democratization of insurance and digitalization. So yes, Tune, I think to be fair, you were quite a hit in the game. But over the last few years, you've seen a lot of interesting partnerships with insurance companies and technology companies, if you ask me. So the likes of Grab with their partnership with Chubb and even Boost with Great Eastern. And you have the mobile operators also in this space. So it's no longer a novelty. Can you compete with them in the long run? Because, we've had this discussion last year. But if anything, I've seen them being even more competitive, advertising a lot more, reaching out to customers in different formats. So what are you doing differently this time?
Love this question because this is fundamentally my biggest strength. I go out there to the market and I say, if you find an insurer faster than me, please tell me. I have signed up 47 partners last year. Year before we had three. This group had three partners and AirAsia was one of it, right? We signed up 47 over partners. You go on Bijak, you will find us. You go on Kuala, you'll find us. You go on Policy Street, you will find us.
Every aggregator there is.
Not just aggregator. There are many other partnerships, right? The Langkawi Travel Bubble, MHTC, Malaysian Health, Tourism Council. Same in Thailand, you will find us with Buzzy Bee. You'll find us with, health supplement companies. You would find us with airlines. You would find us with hotels. In Thailand, we have in Vietnam, we have some really innovative options. We have tied up with the largest e-wallet. We've also tied up with one of the ride-hailing taxis there. This is a space I specialize in. There are four specific differentiators I have. One, my products are all built for digital. In Malaysia alone, I have 11 products on my website. Right now, you can go and buy. You can buy it on my mobile app. You can manage your policy, renew your policy, put a claim, put a service, etc. If it's not good, I make myself available. You can go and see on social media. Sometimes if there's a complaint which goes on, I get involved. I go and meet the customer. I've done 6 such involvements.
All right. We want our listeners to know this for a fact, that if they have any problems with Tune Protect, reach out to Rohit on social media.
Tell us on social media. If the team cannot handle it, the management team takes it as a responsibility. My COO will be involved. I will be involved. The second one is we have APIs. All our InsurTech partners love us because we have APIs. We can move super quick. We can integrate. The third is we are extremely digital insurer mindset. We can do things very fast.
Okay, that sounds great, Rohit. But what I think is in front of us is the fact that Bank Negara is pushing for digital insurance licenses, right? So they've issued a discussion paper on the licensing framework. Expectations are that they will be giving licenses in the near future, whether it's year end or whether it's going to be 2023. Now, they are going to attract a whole different group of people. So in the past, your competition were the incumbents, the legacy players who maybe have scale when it comes to assets under management, but aren't technology companies. But this time round, these are your real competitors. Maybe even people like Laka, which I heard might be interested. Maybe Lemonade might have a joint venture. Does this worry you? Because whatever you have just told me in the last 1-2 minutes, all these new players probably can do and can do faster, and they also have deep pockets to do it.
Great question. Faster, deeper pockets, yes. Faster, I may not agree. I compete with some of these players in other markets, and I do compete with them and win partnerships. I welcome this move from Bank Negara, and I have, you know, given a lot of feedback. You know, we've sent our feedback as well. We actually think this will improve the market. My own view is very simple. More competition is always good because it will open up new surfaces. And I'm not the only one doing, digital marketing and, you know, awareness or among the few. And what will happen with this is the market will expand. More people will be aware. I don't see them as competitors. I see them as making the market wider, because my own view has always been that lower involvement products, travel, home, PA, motor, majority of it is going to go away from traditional distribution channels. The traditional distribution channels will continue to be very relevant for products which require advice, complex health, commercial lines, SME, et cetera, et cetera. Now, coming back, and I think every player has a different positioning. The biggest thing you require to play in this space is you need to have a very strong ecosystem. I have AirAsia's ecosystem, 75 million customers. You will see across the world, people who don't have that ecosystem to work off, they tend to have crazy cost of acquisition because they have to spend a lot of money on branding and campaigning to keep their brand alive. So for me, that's really why I'm quite confident that this is all good news for me. In fact, I'm the first one to put my head out and say, somebody wants to come into Malaysia, you need some advice, I'm happy to give you advice. You know, seriously, and I've done that as well because I don't feel threatened one bit.
Okay, so we know new entrants are coming, but let's just talk a little bit about the existing general insurance market. Okay, so you say there's enough room for everybody, but yet we see deals happening because we've had two notable and sizable deals, M General selling to Liberty, Generali plans to merge the businesses of their and merge with AXA, Affin General Insurance. Now, we just have a population of 33 million people, which isn't very sizable. So some would say that the Malaysian market is too crowded to begin with. And the two top players, be it Allianz and M General, already corner quite a large size of the market. So I'm just curious, we talked about your niche products, but can you really compete effectively? I mean, would you consider selling out, for example?
Not at all. We can definitely compete because, in fact, I have a very simple view. The bigger players have a certain outlook to the market. The smaller players have a different outlook to the market. For us, we are digital first. Whether it's our distributors also, it's digital first. The bigger players, if you walk on the road in Malaysia and you ask a 55-year-old, who would you buy insurance from? I'm pretty sure there are going to be 3 or 4 normal brand names that are going to come out, some of whom will be for 1,700 years. But remember, the millennials and the zillennials think differently. They are the Lazada and the Shopee generation, you know, that you're talking about. They think differently. For them, it's about, is my product simple enough? Is my product cheap enough? And am I getting, you know, value for what I'm buying? And finally, can I do everything, you know, off a mobile app or, you know, online? That's what Tune Protect does today. Even if you buy through a distributor, you know, you still can do all of these things. So the whole differentiation strategy from us has been a focus on millennials and zillennials. That's been our obsession. And these customer groups require the products differently. You go online and you would see we have a sports product. We have a So that's the kind of differentiation. Our health insurance product, average health insurance premiums are between 1,500 to 3,500 ringgit. My health insurance premium average for the year is 600 ringgit, can be bought online, claimed online, serviced online. Okay. So that's really the differentiation. That yes, we are looking for opportunities. There's nothing to hide. We've been very transparent to say we want to expand in ASEAN because we want to be an ASEAN-based insurtech. Just imagine the story where there's one digital platform, the platform that I talked about, where I can being used across multiple markets. My economies of scale will improve, more value for the shareholders, and we sweat our investments better. So we are looking at expanding. Our preferred markets have been Indonesia and Vietnam. Nothing material to disclose at this point in time. But as we kept consistent from the last 1 year when we announced the new plan, these are two markets we are looking to expand our business into.
Okay, and you know, your share price, 38 cents or thereabouts, listed at 1 ringgit 35 cents in 2013, hit a high of 220 in 2014, but we are far, far away from the IPO price and even the all-time high. Do you see Tune Protect touching those prices again? And the reason I'm asking that is, you know, maybe give us a gauge of what kind of growth we can expect.
Well, I can tell you my promises that I've given the market, right? Internally, we've said that we project to grow our premium, net written premium, between 25 to 33%. We said we want to be a leader in customer centricity, and that means net promoter score. We want to be a millennial employer of choice, which is something that we have also spoken to the market. We also have spoken about spinning off our tech business as a profit generator. We are mobile first. So these are the clear targets that we've set ourselves for. As a business, and we want to have higher retention. Retention is not renewal. Retention means we don't want to do business which I pass on to someone else. And that's why over the next 12 to 18 months, we will be getting out of some of the large risk, low retention business. If I can give one commitment to the shareholders, you can see it with my continuous share purchase. No. You know, over the last 15 months since I've joined, I think I have invested at least 2 months of my salary into the share on my own, okay? And I'm continuously doing it. You will see that regularly I'm investing into the share. This is not the ESOS or any of that, which you can always see. It is my own commitment that I believe in the company, and I believe where I want to take it. Now, I can't give you guidance of what the share price would be because share price has many other factors. But we remain committed to our goals, which is where we want to be. And that's where we will be focused.
On that note, thank you for your time today. Today on The Breakfast Grill was Rohit Nambiar, Group CEO of Tune Protect. I'm Wong Shaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.